switch. Run, I say! Run!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Mike Malloy is with us, running all over town, and I hope having a good time. Mike, are you with us?
Hey, I'm here, Guy.
Hey, glad to have you with us today. I really appreciate coming on the program, and I want you to know, my God, my audience, next to the Pope and George Bush, you're probably the most important man on the planet right now.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I'm not so sure about the Pope.
What can I say? And I know you've got a great audience, too. I'm real familiar with your audience.
Well, I think you are. And, Mike, the reason I called you is I'm trying to get you to help me out a little bit because these people, you know, I stay up late like you do, and I'm in the studio working late at night, and I'm in my studio typing something out on the word processor the other night at 3 a.m., and some woman from Oregon calls on the studio line and is bawling.
And, oh, no.
And saying, what's the deal with Mike? Mike, my God, I've never seen anything like it. So glad to have you along with us today, and just wanted to kind of go over what this last week has been like for you. I know I've been in this business a long time, and you've been in it probably even longer than I have, and faced from what I know about it, a pretty brutal situation last week. And just wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life right now.
Well, right now we're just checking stuff out, Guy. A week ago today, or a week ago yesterday, we were, Kath and I were on our way to work, and we got a phone call from, one of the execs at Air America, and just said, I need to tell you something. And I said, okay, we're on our way to work. And this person said, what, you on the expressway? And I said, yeah. And I said, well, maybe you ought to pull over.
Oh, no.
Bastard. So anyway.
Yeah, the old pullover. Mm.
Right. So we pulled over, and he said, I've got some bad news for you. And I said, well, it could only be one of two things. Either we've invaded Iran or I'm fired. And he said, well, we haven't invaded Iran. And, I just about freaked because this is not how you're supposed to do it if you're Air America. What you're supposed to do is, let somebody know that there's a need for a meeting or a discussion. And I was right in the middle of a week where I was substituting for Randy Rhodes, and somebody else was substituting for me. So this it's not like the proper protocol when you just call somebody who's on their way to work and tell them, you're out of here. And So, you know, I don't mean to make it sound, Guy, like my firing is any different from any other man or woman who loses a job without notice. It's rough on anybody. I don't care what business you're in, if you're a coal miner, a talk show host, newspaper writer, school teacher, whatever. You know, when they unload on you like that for no reason and give you some BS story as to why, it's discombobulating. But I believe that, you know, most people who have a profession, whether it's waiting tables or doing talk radio, when that happens, you just go, well, okay. You get pissed off for a few days. You get angry. You think to yourself, stuff like, I'll figure out a way to get even with these managers. But eventually what you do is just suck it up and say, you know, it's life. That's the way it goes. People get fired every day. And you go on and you find a different gig. And that's why we're in New York. We're talking to some people up here who I think will get back to work. But again, I know that talk radio is a little bit different in terms of people being concerned. It's a little bit different from waitressing or coal mining, because you do have people who rely on that program, whether it's yours or mine or Randy Rhodes or Howard Stern, whoever it is. You know, you get to the point where, yeah, that's part of my day. And when all of a sudden that chunk is gone, it's disconcerting to the audience too. But you know, I kind of know my place in the food chain is what I'm trying to say. So I'm not. I don't want people to think, oh my God, we reached a catastrophe here because Malloy lost his job. No, that's not the case at all. It's just that, you know, like you, I try to make a good connection with the people who are kind enough to tune into my program, and I think they're owed an explanation when something happens where all of a sudden that program's gone. I know when I listen to radio, if I'm listening to somebody, I don't care if it's a disc jockey or a talk person, and all of a sudden they're not there, I want to know why. And I think the company that has been putting that person on the air has an obligation to explain, well, this is why your favorite DJ's gone. This is why your talk show host is gone. And, of course, Air America's not doing that.
Are they going to explain?
No.
Can they explain?
No, see, the people running Air America are not radio people.
That's true.
The acting CEO right now is from the cosmetics industry, which shows you the insanity there. But,
well, that ties
you know,
in,
cor-
yeah.
Huh?
That ties in well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect tie-in. But in corporate America, you know this as well as I do, they move executives around, they give them big pay packages, golden parachutes, and the people are doing the work. You know, may get fired, may get hired, may be told to go straight to hell, may have their wages cut, may lose their benefits, well, you know, whatever it is. And to the executive class in this country, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And that's kind of the way it is at Air America. Now, it didn't start out that way. Air America started out as a group of people who were dedicated to putting together a network to get out the liberal idea against this tide of right-wing hog snot that passes for conservative politics now. It was a dedicated group of people that realized, you know, you've got Nazis taking over the government, and if not Nazis, certainly fascists taking over the United States government, dictating foreign and domestic policy. And one of the reasons it's been so easy for them is because of right-wing talk radio. So there was dedication at the beginning of this network to be a counterbalance to that, and I don't know where the dedication's gone, Guy.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is the dedication still there? I mean, I know with a couple of individuals that I know, it's still there, but is there a mission? Is there a sense of mission there now to balance the playing field and all, or is it just another radio network now, I wonder?
Well, let me break it into two categories. People like Randy Rhodes and Sam Cedar and a couple other people who are syndicated by Air America, like Tom Hartman, people like that, they are dedicated. They are willing to continue to fight. As far as the network itself is concerned, Air America, not an ice cube's chance in hell. They couldn't care less about whatever dedication might have been there at the beginning. The people who were there at the beginning, the guys with the white hats, they're for the most part gone. There's still a couple people holding on to Air America in the executive suites who are good guys and are trying to fight against this tide of right-wingism that's even reached into Air America now, unbelievably. So As far as dedicated liberals, yeah. I think Randy Rhodes is dedicated to the cause. I think Sam Cedar's dedicated to the cause. I think Rachel Maddow is dedicated. But when you get away from the talent and into the executive offices, nah, hell no.
Yeah, I assume you saw the nice letter or post or whatever you want to call it that Sheldon put up.
Oh, Drobny?
Yes.
That he put it where?
I don't know where I read it, but I read a nice post on the internet about it.
Yeah. Shelley's a good guy.
He's sick about it.
People. Shelley and his wife Anita are the two who had the original idea for Air America before it was ever called Air America. And they were treated shabbily. I mean, you know, they put in a couple of million to get the thing going, got out there and started soliciting rich liberals, who, by the way, as a group, are just they really irritate me. Rich conservatives will throw money at anything that will enhance the conservative cause. Rich liberals just kind of sit back on their asses and go, well, oh, I don't know, man, you know, and that's really irritating. And Shelley and Anita ran into that early on, and they had to take in investors who, it turned out, were less than savory characters. But Shelley was there at the beginning, and if Air America does reorganize itself, I hope Shelley will be there in Air America's next incarnation. I damn sure won't, but I hope Shelley and some of the good guys and gals will still be at Air America.
Well, Mike, I know a lot of people don't necessarily know the whole story. You weren't there on day one when the network started, but you were certainly there early on with Shelley and the folks when this whole thing was being hatched out, weren't you?
Yeah, if you read Shelley's book, Road to Air America, it was Shelley and his wife Anita and Kathy, my wife, and I. The four of us had a meeting at a Thai restaurant in Atlanta about 4 years ago. I guess it was 4 years ago. And Shelley and Anita laid out this plan for a liberal radio network. And, you know, we just sat there, Kathy and I, and listened to what they had to say, and it really made sense. And I said, well, you know, what kind of involvement do you want from me? And Shelley said, well, we're thinking, Shelley's from Chicago. He used to listen to me on WLS. And he said, well, we're thinking about asking you to be the CEO. And I said, no, not me, you know, unless you want to run right into the ground. I'm not executive type. You know, I can do a radio program. I said, but I have a guy for you named John Sinton. And so we hooked up Sinton with the Drobnys, and then they started, and it took them about a year to finally launch the network. And by then, different people had come in on the investment level. So I was kind of surprised and pissed off when I wasn't included in the first group of hires, but they said they had to hire people like Al Franken because he added, you know, cachet to the network. Oh, my God, they got Al Franken. So they, you know, they had to do that sort of stuff. They hired a couple of comedians, and then Randy, who had done Afternoon Drive for years. See, as you know, what I've done, Guy, for years is worked late in the evenings, and that was by choice. I kind of like that late night shift because people who listen to talk radio at that hour of the night are pretty much just as crazy as I am.
That's right.
And there's a great connection and a great affinity. Plus, usually when I'm on the air, all the suits are asleep, so we can get away with stuff that you can't get away with in an afternoon drive. So, they, you know, they brought in Randy because she was the only one on the original network that had any broadcast experience, for God's sake. You know, talk show experience.
Yeah, and it sounded like it, too.
Yeah, and then about 5 months later, they finally, asked me if I wanted to do that 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I said, sure, what the hell took you so long, you know, to offer it? I mean, come on. So, no, it took about 4 or 5 months for me to get there. But once I got there, it was like, oh, yay, you know, finally found a home. Don't ever have to deal with right-wing jerks in a radio station anymore. Don't have to deal with right-wing jerks on a syndicating company. Here we are, all liberals, all the time. Yay, I'm home. Surprise, surprise,
yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. Mike, what do you figure? And I'm not going to pin you down on this. Of course, you're not a guy that can be pinned down. Was it something you said? I mean, you've heard all this stuff that's going around now about Greg being on the show. When was it? Last Tuesday or something? And you guys are talking, and he mentioned something that now he's going to get quizzed by the Homeland Security people and all that. Anything to any of that?
You know, I have to answer this way, Guy. I don't know. I'm willing to accept at face value what Air America told me and the reason they were letting me go. And I'm accepting it at face value because I think they're jackasses. So I've learned a long time ago that when you're dealing with a jackass, if he starts braying, don't tell him, don't tell the jackass, hey, why are you braying? I mean, that's what a jackass does. Okay?
Well, I think everybody understands that that reasoning is kind of absurd that they gave. So, I mean,
yeah,
that goes without saying.
I'll take it at face value. Now, having said that, I've pretty much walked the edge out there on certain issues. The 9/11 truth people, for example, I've made it very clear that I do not for a second believe the official story of what happened in this country on September 11, 2001. I don't know what did happen, but I don't believe the official Bush story. Any man, any administration that will lie a country into two wars is an administration that has no regard for human life whatsoever, whether it's our military or civilians in the country they're going to attack. So why would they have a damn bit of regard for American lives? So I have no problem saying that I do not believe the official Bush story on 9/11, nor do I believe the 9/11 Commission report. Now, what did happen? I don't know. There are people out there in the 9/11 truth movement who feel they have the right answer, and they feel they have what is proof to back it up, whether it's video proof or engineering proof. And to those people, I say, well, keep searching, keep hunting, because I'm an American, I love my country, and if these evil bastards engineered an attack against my country, and by evil bastards, I mean the Bush crime family, I want to know about it, and I think America wants to know about it. So I encourage the research and the continued dedication of all these people, and I know a lot of them say, well, or a lot of people say, well, the 9/11 Truth Commission or the 9/11 Truth Organization, they're just a bunch of tinfoil hat conspiracy freaks. Well, that's probably what they said about Christopher Columbus when he said, you know, the Earth is not flat. It really is round.
Oh, yeah, the biggest wad of tinfoil ever.
Right, and I'm sure a lot of people back then said, oh, my God, this guy Columbus, this Italian, he says the Earth is round. Can you believe this? So, you know, all right. So my putting guests on about 9/11, that's one issue. The other issue, and with all due respect to your audience, I take a position on the Middle East that is not standard operating procedure. While I believe in the right of the state of Israel to exist, I also believe in the right of the Palestinians not to be murdered and Lebanese civilians not to be blown to pieces. So I take a position in, where it concerns the Middle East that, that in fact, is even-handed. But because in this country, immediately when you do that, you're either labeled a Jew hater or an anti-Semite, that's a very difficult position to take. And I've said on my program many times, Israel is not a religion. It may be a state based on a religion, but as long as it's a state and not a religious entity, I reserve the right to criticize it. If I can criticize my own country, and China, I damn sure can criticize Russia or France or the UK or Israel. Israel is not off the table for me. Now, did that have anything to do with my firing? I have no idea. A lot of people out there saying, well, sure, as soon as Malloy takes on the Israel issue, he's canned. I choose not to believe that. Whether I'm wrong or right, I guess I'll never know.
I don't want to believe it. I mean, I took the – of course, nobody can fire me, but I was right with you on your position, absolute every step of the way. I couldn't agree with you more on your position on that. If that had anything to do with it, if in fact AIPAC's that damn powerful, we're all in trouble. So,
that's true. And while I know that AIPAC the Israeli lobby in this country wields a lot of influence, well, so do other organizations wield a lot of influence. So I'm not ready yet to say that U.S. foreign policy is dictated by Israel. any more than I'm willing to say that Israeli foreign policy is dictated by the United States. I think there are bandits and criminals in both governments, but I think there are bandits and criminals in damn near every... I think Tony Blair is a criminal. I think Putin is a criminal. I think the people running countries in South and Central America are criminals, some of them. So nobody, no government, in my opinion, has an exclusive franchise to stupidity, acts of venality, and criminality, and certainly not Israel and the United States. But since I live in the United States, and this is my country, and this is my government, even though I didn't elect it, that's doing these things, and since my government, my country is closely tied with the policies of Israel and vice versa, then by God, I reserve the right to make critical comments. And if somebody wants to label me anti-Semitic, I couldn't care less.
Well, I heartily agree, Mike. I heartily agree on that. I took a lot of heat, and I know you probably did too. I've gotten absolutely inundated, flooded with emails and so forth here since this happened last week. In fact, I was on the air last week when the news broke and nearly fell off my chair, and my listenership went nuts. The rest of the afternoon, there's people sending. I guess what I'm getting at here, and first of all, if I don't say hello to you from a guy named Victor in Puerto Rico and Sarge, Sarge in Mississippi, I'm screwed.
Sarge, I love him like a brother. Victor Lopez is a correspondent. He first started writing to me when he was in the federal detention center in Miami, and then they transferred him to the federal prison in Puerto Rico. He got in trouble with credit card fraud and some check kiting and stuff like that. He just turned 25, a hell of a nice young man who doesn't try to claim I'm innocent, I got railroaded. He says, I really screwed up, I made some bad choices, I'm paying for it. And he sent me letter after letter after letter, and you know how that goes, guy. You want to answer everything.
Oh, yeah.
But it's almost impossible. So I put on my website about Victor to send him a letter, you know, send this kid a letter. Because, you know, given some, I don't know if you've ever been in prison. I never have.
No.
Right, I never have either. Not that I have
to belong there. We're fellow former Ohioans. I lived about 10 miles away from the Marion Correctional Institute, but up in Toledo.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've read and what I hear, because I know people have spent time in the slam. It's horrifying in the isolation. Now, I'm not making a big plea here to abolish prisons. I think some people do things that are bad. And we've decided in this society this is how we're going to punish him. But Victor, I just got the feeling that this young man was more than just some punk criminal. And so I put his name and mailing address in Puerto Rico up on the website, on my website, MikeBeloy.com, and all of a sudden he sends me letters. He says, oh, I'm getting all these emails. Oh, thank you. Or not emails, all these letters. Thank you. And then Sarge over in Mississippi, who has a blog at powersandmorrison.com, he worked it so Victor could write a blog, write a column up there. And this kid is writing now, and he's a good writer.
Yeah, he is.
And if something comes out of this good for Victor, well, good for Victor. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I learned a lesson, too. Don't ever write a bad check in Puerto Rico.
Boy, you got that right.
Oh, man. Kind of harsh there. Mike, the question...
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I think whatever violations of the law Victor got into were in the American Virgin Islands, and they just stuck him over in Puerto Rico for whatever reason. I think Victor may be Puerto Rican, so they put him there.
All right. Hey, there's two questions I got to ask you before we,
sure,
we go. I know I'm taking up your afternoon here, and you're just dying to get down to wherever it is. And I don't know. You're going to need to get what they call it there in Central Park, the Village Green or whatever. You're probably going to...
Tavern on the Green.
You probably have a big dinner. And by the way, how's Kathy and Molly doing?
Kathy's doing great. Molly always loves it when we come to New York because there's just so much going on. And for her, that's just traffic and people. You know, she loves to be out. We had a meeting today at Sirius Satellite Radio, and we had a friend take Molly into Central Park while Kathy and I went to the meeting. And
wow.
When we went back and met him, you know, after we'd been gone for about 3 hours, it was like we'd never been gone. Molly, you know, this woman who babysat is a friend of mine, and she had her little daughter with her. So they just went to the park and played. Molly loves it up here. Kathy's a little bit too much for Kathy. She was born and raised in Georgia. So, you know, Kathy is always like, okay, I love New York. Let's go home.
Two things we got to know. People driving us nuts. Everybody in the liberal progressive radio world. Number one, Mike, I assume you are aware of the absolutely, to me, shocking, overwhelming response in your favor over this.
That's incredible. Blew me away.
As much as I love you, and as much as you've been around the block and the radio, I've been blown away by this. I just can't get over it, and I wondered what your feelings were on it. And secondly, everybody's dying to know when you're going to hit the ground hit the ground of running again and all that, and you've got some irons in the fire, and someone will pick you up, Mike.
I think so. The first question, the way I look at talk radio, I didn't get in it, Guy, until I was middle-aged, so it's not like I've been in it for 20 years, a little over 20 years. So I never had any illusions about fame and fortune. To me, it was just, you know, this is pretty cool thing to do. But what I have, the way I've always looked at talk radio, it's me sitting like in a coffee house where there are 20 tables, and I'm sitting up on the stage on a stool, and I got a microphone, and there's like maybe 35 or 40 people out there. They're drinking coffee, they're having a cocktail, whatever. And I'm sitting up there. For some reason, I'm the guy sitting up on the stool talking about issues of the day. And every once in a while, somebody in the audience will say, "Hey, Malloy, but what about this?" And that's how I've always looked at me. I see myself with maybe 35 or 40 people. Air America, we met last night in Brooklyn with some people who still work at Air America. And they said that so far they've gotten something like 18,000 angry emails. And they set up a phone line there for people to call, and they got like over 6,000 phone calls. And it's just absolutely blown them away. The petition online has 10 or 11,000 names on it. Kathy and I got at least, no exaggeration here, at least 3,000 emails between us. Now, when we started seeing these, what was happening, it blew me away. Frankly, it scared me. I had no idea that the audience would be so big and so dedicated to our little radio program that the response would be like that. And you know, Guy, for every person who writes, there's 10 or 20 or 100 who don't.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, they've got their life. They don't have time. They may be thinking, well, you know, I'm sorry. I remember one time when they cut you. You were working someplace.
Yeah.
And I got emails, and I saw things on Democratic Underground and around about the Guy James Show, the Guy James Show. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got the old, your program doesn't meet our conservative audience's expectations.
Christ, I've heard that too. But it's stunning to me to know that a lot of people were listening to the program, on the one hand. On the other hand, Kathy and I have always focused the program to, it comes from the heart on our end, so we aim for the heart on the listener's part. There's some talk show hosts who are very good, like Tom Hartman, who aim for the head, and he does a good job. I mean, he's very cerebral. He's very intellectual. He makes wonderful arguments. I love Tom Hartman like a brother, but he goes for the head. I go for the heart. And you know that when you connect with somebody heart to heart, the sense of connection is stronger than when you connect with somebody head to head. That's just the way it goes. We all know that. That's Psych 101. So without planning it, without being conniving or trying to figure out a way to hit people where they live, that's just how we do it. Because I take this stuff seriously, Guy. I really do. I don't have an act. I'm not a stand-up comic for the past 10 years who wants to get into talk radio. You know, I don't, you know, that's not me. I come out of CNN. I come out of writing. I come out of being a liberal from the top of my head to the bottom soles of my feet, and I'll always be a liberal.
You couldn't be that good an actor, Mike.
No, well, that's true. So, yeah, we were blown away. Now, as far as the future, you know, there's nothing deader than the past, unless you believe. Who was it? Was it Steinbeck or somebody who said the past is never dead? In fact, it's never past. But on the other hand, I just say, okay, time to move on, because this is radio, and it's like any other job. You get fired, what are you going to do? Sit around and go, oh, woe is me? No. You say, okay, what's next? So after we had 2 or 3 days, Kathy and I, where we were really sad, really hurt, really pissed off, really upset, really feeling betrayed, you know, kind of like Julius Caesar must have felt when Brutus stuck the knife in him, you know. When you see your good friend slide the knife between your ribs, not that Air America was our good friend, but we believed in him, we trusted him, and it was misplaced trust, and it was misplaced belief. So you grieve, you mourn, you get up off your ass, and you start looking again. So that's one of the reasons we're in New York. We're talking with Sirius Satellite Radio. We're talking with a couple of other companies. And you're right, we'll be back. I'm not one to sit around and go, woe is me. I want to get back into radio and just go back to what we were doing, that's all. I mean, you know, just go back to kicking the Bush crime family's ass and talking about it and making that connection to people heart to heart. That's all we want to do.
Well, Mike, you're absolutely a disease to a lot of people. they are infected, let me tell you. And I love your fans. A lot of them are my listeners as well. We share
a lot of listeners.
They're very passionate, and I like you, like to go for the heart as well. And that's the real deal. Mike, please give our regards, the audience, everybody, all of your listeners that are listening now. And believe me, there are a ton of them. That's one good thing about Internet radio, you can tell how many.
That's right.
Kathy and Molly, a great big collective hug from everybody, and one for you too. And Mike, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks, Guy. Thanks for taking time out of your broadcast to put me on.
Thank you for being here, buddy.
I'll talk to you later, pal.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, what do you say? What do you say? He's a man. Mike has been around the radio business for about 20 years. I guess I've done it for a little longer than that, off and on. And he's just a great guy. And all you have to do is listen to that interview, and you hear heartfelt answers, honest, open answers to every question, no beating around the bush, no bullshit. Mike is Mike, just exactly like we always say, what you see is what you get, and he's not going to give you an act, not ever, and don't ever ask him a question you don't want the honest answer to. That's one thing you got to love about a guy like Mike, that's for sure. What should we do here? Let's go to a break here, and we'll be back in a minute.
justice, dead or alive. Connection between September 11th and Saddam Hussein. War is my last choice. We're to smoke them out. Bring them on. We think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place. The wiretap requires a court order. Saddam Hussein's got weapons of mass destruction. Although we have not found stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, and it is true that much of the intelligence turned out to be wrong, no one can now doubt the word of America.
Now let's impeach the president for hijacking our religion and using it to get elected.
Hey, we're back, and boy, am I in a good mood right now. I really am. I hope you are as well. I'm in the best doggone mood I've been in all week. You know why? Because really and truly, spoke to Mike quite a little bit today on the phone before this happened, because we kept saying, okay, we're going to do it at this time. No, we're going to do it this time, and he had these meetings set up with Sirius. He mentioned his one. And everybody hang on. I'll get to the phone in just a second. But it's great to hear him so upbeat. You know, you've heard Mike when he's up, when he's down, and all that. But Mike this afternoon sounded very upbeat to me, sounded very positive to me. And that's a great thing, because if I ever knew a guy, I'll tell you a little story here in a little while. I won't do it right now about an incident with Mike and Kathy and a few others. I'm going to admit something that I'm the guilty one, and I'll tell you all about it. Hey, by the way, you can call us 866-546-5254. I've probably blown the whole show by starting out with Mike that way. I had a million things I was going to talk about today. 866-546-5254. So I go to answer the phone, and the light goes off. Now, which one of you called and then hung up right then and there? Why did you do that? I'm going to hunt you down. Anyway, I know some of you have seen this story on the internet, and right now I'm going to confess that it was me that leaked the information, and I think it's always been anonymous, whoever it was there. Several years ago, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, there were a bunch of us in Washington, D.C. for a Democracy Radio Conference. There was this organization getting started. One of the senator's husbands was started at Democracy Radio, and they were going to syndicate some shows. And as it turns out, they did get a show syndicated, the Ed Schultz Show. Yeah. And anyway, there's a bunch of us there. Tom and Louise were there, and Mike and Kathy were there, and let me see, Nancy Skinner. I don't think the Turks were at that one. That was before they were even around, maybe. I don't know. Who else? Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I can't remember his name, from Las Vegas. Just everybody. You know, everybody that you know of that's been in left radio, why they were there, this meeting. And we were in one of these Senate meeting rooms. And they'd bring in one senator, two senators at a time, and they brought in, you know, must be something wrong with my phone. Anyway, they'd bring in one senator, you know, they'd bring in Ted Kennedy, and he'd talk to us a while, and Hillary come in. There's a small group, there's about maybe 30 of us all together. And the meeting was going on, and this guy comes in and walks over and sits over in the corner all by himself. All by himself. And one of the people that you know very well on the radio, you know him very well, and I'm not going to say whether it was Mike, whether it was Randy, or whether it was Mike or Nancy Skinner. I'm not going to say which one it was. But one of them said, one of them looks at me and says, "You see that asshole sitting over in the corner?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's that Ed Schultz. He's going to be the son of a bitch that's going to end up with a syndicated radio show. You wait and see." And this was, oh, I don't know, 6-8 months before it ever happened. So they knew what was going on. I didn't. I found out that weekend what was going down. But anyway, boy, I'll get in trouble with that story. So there you know. There you know who spilled the beans on that story. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, this is Sarge.
Hey, Sarge.
I wanted to tell Guy, Victor Lopez, the guy that Mike was talking about.
Yeah.
He called me during the interview.
Did he?
And he heard it all.
Oh.
And he said it made his day. And to tell Guy James, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you. I told Mike, I said if I didn't say hello from Victor and Sarge, I'm probably going to get my ass kicked or something like that.
Well, Guy, thank you from me. Thank you from Victor, because you just don't know what you did for that boy. He said,
"That's
my day, Sergeant." So I wanted you to know, Victor did hear Mike, and he wanted you to know that he is eternally grateful to
you. Well, that makes my day as well.
So I just wanted to tell you that. I'm going to hang up. I know you got other things to do, but I thought you needed to know that.
Thank you, Sarge. It makes me feel good. It really does.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye now. Bye-bye. And back over to another line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wanting to comment on the Mike Malloy thing.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Just wanted to, basically, I'm saying the same thing Sarge and everyone else is saying. Just thank you so very much for having that on. I am just, I've been going nuts the past couple of days because nobody, you know, we knew that Mike was probably going to be doing stuff, but we didn't know anything that was going on. I'm just so happy that he's actually talking to people now, and he's probably going to end up somewhere soon. You know, hopefully even before elections. I'm just pleased as punch to hear that.
Well, I know people had to have their mic fixed. I knew that. You know, that story I told about that woman calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning, that was no joke. I'm an insomniac, and so I went over to the studio, and I'm in there getting a bunch of work done, things that I needed to get done, little recording and so forth, and studio phone rings. And I thought, well, who the hell's calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? I picked it up, and it's this woman from Oregon, and she's crying, and she's telling me, "You got to do something about getting Mike back on."
I remember I'd been listening to him on the Randy Rhoads show, and I tuned in for him one day, and it was Tom Hartman on, and I didn't think anything of it at the time, because sometimes, you know, Mike gets feeling under the weather and whatnot, and takes off for a day to, you know, get himself right and whatnot. And so I didn't think much about it. And then I was listening to Majority Report the other day, and Sam just started talking all cryptically about, you know, I know what happened. Mike was bad, and I was mad. I was like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah. Well, it was a shockeroo. It happened last Wednesday
it would have been around probably just before 3 o'clock, considering he was heading to the studio.
Yeah, and I heard about it about 4 o'clock, right in the middle of my show, and I sat here. Well, I found out about it during the news at the top of the hour, and I sat here and gone, well, what the hell am I going to say when I come back about this? I don't know it's for sure, absolutely.
That's what
true.
I thought it had to be some cruel prank.
I did, too, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about it. There's way more to the story.
Well, Mike was giving us some figures on, the petition and the phone calls and whatnot, and I know people are still calling and ringing about that, and I can't imagine, you know, Air America's just going to sit quiet about it. On the other hand, you know, Suits.
Yeah, that's right, Suits. we got problems with Suits, that's for sure.
All right, well, let me go ahead and get off. I'm sure there's other people who probably want
to
talk.
Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to have that comment. And God, please, somebody give me my mic fixed again.
All righty.
Thank you very much,
thanks.
Man.
Ah, yeah. Hey, you can give us a call, too. Let us know what you think about Mike being here or anything else that may be on your mind. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you. See, where were we going with this right now? I don't know. I had planned to have Mike on later in the program after I got a bunch of stuff out of the way. And when he said, well, let's do it at the top of the hour because, well, he just got out of the meeting. When I first talked to him here earlier this afternoon, he was in a cab heading back to the hotel. So he said, well, okay, let's do it at 3 o'clock. Hell, I didn't care what time, but let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to let you know that if people need a fix of Mike Malloy, what I've done is I've gone to his archives and gone back 3.5 years ago. And it's unbelievable because it's like it was being played last night. Everything's still basically the same, and just hearing Mike, and he's so good with people, and I just love that man.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's people are very passionate about Mike. You don't hear any wimpy comments about him, do you?
No, you sure don't.
I hate his guts, or I love him. One or the other.
but if people want, they could listen to him 3.5 years ago on the IE America network.
Yeah.
It does help you get over this really rough time.
That's where Mike and I first, well, it's not where our paths first crossed, but that's where we first had a kind of a business relationship because I filled in for him once in a while on IE America way back when, seems like. And you know what a shame it was that little network couldn't make it. The UAW was sponsoring it, and you know, the UAW's having money troubles, everybody's having money troubles, and just couldn't make it. And I'll tell you what, that was an organization, the people that ran it had their hearts in the right place. They really did. And it was a very, very sad day. A lot of people don't realize it, but it was a sad day when IE America went off the air.
And your program is great. And even when you go to breaks, your breaks are the music and everything is just beautiful.
Well, thanks. I work hard picking out things that I think people will like. So, I do thank you for that. And where are you calling from?
Denver.
Denver. Ah, I love Denver. Yeah. I love to go up there to Coors Plant at Cold Creek and get me a cold one. I haven't been out there in a long time, though. A long time. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Bye now. Bye. Ah, yes, Denver. 866-546-5254. I'll change the subject for a little bit. I don't see any lines lit up right now. So, well, yes, I do. I don't want to get in the middle of something and change the subject. So, Al, you can change the subject anytime on this show. You know that. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, Guy, Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, that was one great interview. It really surprised me. Been waiting for it all week. And it really surprised me that it just started out right away like that.
Well, it kind of surprised me, too. That was a last-minute thing. Mike was in the cab when we decided that, and he said he'd be back to the room at a certain time. Let's do it, so we did.
And just absolutely hung on every word. Just did not move from this stereo speaker. It was one hell of a great interview.
Well, thank you. And you know Mike's an old Toledo boy.
Oh, you know I know that. Listen, Guy, I want to ask you a question. When are we going to get something going on this head-on radio network? And, you know, where we get more listeners, just get out there more. What's going to happen with this? What do you think, Guy?
Well, let me explain something. And I don't know how my fellow host here at head on radio network feel about it, but I'm probably the old timer around here, age-wise.
Come on, Guy, you're making me old now.
I'm longer in the tooth than anybody else here, I can guarantee you that. And probably less hair and whiter hair than
You look good in your picture.
My beard's doing good though, so anyway, you know, I've had somebody asked me a while back, how long you've had a beard? And I said, I've had a beard since 1971. Never shaved it off one time.
Is that right?
Yeah, in a little town I lived near Ohio, we had a sesquicentennial celebration, 150 years, and everybody grew beards for that. And my ex-mother-in-law didn't like the fact that everybody was growing beards. You know, she thought that was shameful. So, you know, I had to grow a beard since my ex-mother-in-law didn't like it, and I grew a big old nice beard and have never shaved it since.
You look very distinguished in your
beard. Hell yeah, I hope.
I think you look good. Buddy.
I was hoping you were going to say distinguished and not extinguished.
So what will happen?
Well, let me explain something to people. Let me talk about syndication.
You know, I talked to you yesterday, excuse me for interrupting you, and I said, you know, I'm trying to get my fix on money and can't get it. And then on Friday, I got 3 days. You know, it's bad enough the weekend, but then to have, from Friday all the way to Tuesday.
Well.
You know, that's a long time. And like I told you, and anybody else is out there, listen, I want to get you back on for 5 days, buddy.
Well, we'd like to do that. And like I said, it costs money. And here's how a lot of this works. Now, there are various ways that radio works. But I think people automatically think everybody is on a network or something is making a bunch of money. And it's just not so.
And we know better.
It's not so at all, let me tell you. And in fact, I'll just tell you something. It may shock a lot of my listeners, and I don't care whether they know it or not, but in the last 4 years, most of which has been independently until just the last few months here with the Head on Radio Network, I probably have spent nearly $100,000 out of my own pocket.
Oh, my God almighty.
Yeah, because...
you must have one hell of a good wife, guy.
I most certainly do. And we worked very hard toward that end, and where we live here in Southwest Florida, we had to buy time on the radio. They didn't, you can't get a sponsor to save your hind end in an area like this. You had to buy time, and it's very expensive, by the way.
And, I understand.
And so, it costs an enormous amount of money to get show going. So you go out and you try and get ads from ad agencies that'll make a buy on a show.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. A guy like Limbaugh, they wonder where's the money come from Limbaugh? A guy like Limbaugh, and I forget, I think he's on what, 600 stations?
Talked about that and how you think that is not so sponsors.
Well, here's how it does work. Here's how it does work. Let's say that there are 13 spots in an hour, 30s or 60s or whatever. What normally happens is they don't pay Rush Limbaugh to do that show, or any syndicated show. They don't pay that host to do that show. The radio stations don't. They don't pay for that show at all. What happens is a mattress company or whoever's advertising, there'll be like, say, 13 ads in an hour. The station will keep like 9 of them, and the revenue for 4 of them will go to the show host. And that's how it works. And in most cases, and so in AAR, for example, when they were first trying to get started, and I do know this to be true. Hell, they were giving it away. They were giving it away so people would take their feed
and
get it on. And then they come along and say, well, I'll take maybe one, I'll take maybe two spots an hour. So that's why they're having had financial trouble. And there, I've kind of let a cat out of the bag. But that's basically how that works, and that's how these show hosts end up with a ton of money. You take 600 stations, and here locally, for example, on the Limbaugh show, they get $125 for a 60-second spot. Three of those an hour, that's $375 an hour.
Each time that spot's played.
Yeah. And so that's $375 an hour times three. That's a little over $1,000 a day from this station.
One.
You see. So yeah. That's how a lot of the money comes in.
Well, Guy, where will Head on a Radio Network go? What is what are they thinking about? How is this going to get up? I know this is new. How long has Head on Radio Network been up? It's been up, what, a year?
I don't know, probably right around there. I've been here since, March, I guess, March the 20th or so.
Yeah, please,
I don't know. Bob takes care of all that. We talk now and then, and Bob, believe me, let me tell you something. Bob Kincaid and Bruce and I and the others on this were very serious about this, and we're not thinking, oh gee, we're just doing this for a little fun. We're very serious about trying to make this into something where this can be. A real voice for the left. And there isn't anybody on here that isn't dedicated to being a voice for the left and not looking at it like, oh, geez, I hope I can make $1 million. That's not it.
Well, I wish I wish all of you guys on the Head on Radio Network the best of luck, because it's a service that probably 60% or maybe even more of the American people sorely need out here. And, you know, when I called you and I said yesterday, and I said, listen, you know, I don't have that much money, but I'd like to chip in some extra bucks and get you on, because you're missed when you're not on. And I know I'm not the only one out there that feels that way.
Well, I thank you ever so much, Bill, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for your input, buddy.
Okay, listen, you take care, guy.
Thanks.
Great show.
Yeah, bye now. After we come back from the break, I had like 4 hours worth of stuff to talk about today and trying to work it into 2 hours, and I haven't done a bit of it yet. And that's perfectly fine. Can't think of a better way to ruin the format of a show that I've absolutely torn apart today. I can't think of a better way to do it than to have started the show off the way we did today. And obviously, quite a few of you enjoyed it as well. We got quite a response going here, and I do very much appreciate it. I know a lot of you got to see Mr. Bush yesterday give his speech, and I would like to know. I just take a moment and ask you this question before we get to the news at the top of the hour. How many of you figured out that we've got a president who is just grossly ignorant of the radical Islamic faction he's trying to fight? I mean, here's a guy that you all know by now, that when he was told about the Shias and the Sunnis in Iraq, he said he thought the Iraqis were Muslim. And, you know, and do you even have got kids in the seventh grade? You have kids in the seventh or eighth grade? Didn't they know better than that? I'm sure they did. You know, and your kids aren't the kids of a former president and a rich, powerful family. But face it, if you met this guy, this Bush, for the first time, you'd probably think his name was Bubba Billy Bob Bush, and you'd think he lived in a 32-footer on the side of a hill near Hazard, Kentucky, with a porch made out of used shipping pallets, probably replete with a bunch of coon dogs and a 73 Chevy pickup truck in the front yard and a brand-new outhouse in the back, you know, the one they stole from the him and cousin Bobby Joe stole from the Walmart construction site down the road. But, you know, this guy kind of sums up the word buffoon so very nicely. And oh, sure, he smiles at you. He makes those silly-looking smirks. But when you look into his eyes, really look into his eyes, you quickly realize there isn't anything behind those eyes. You get the same look from him you get from your dog when you're trying to get him to do a trick for a bacon snack or something. You know, that sort of what the hell's going on here look. I met a guy from the Czech Republic a couple of weeks back, and we were having dinner one night, and after dinner, the TV was on, and he saw Junior Bush on there. And in the nicest way, because he doesn't want to offend us, he's at our house having dinner, he says to me, you know, the man should have been a stand-up comedian, he's saying about Bush. Sort of a clown guy who just stands on the stage and doesn't say anything, just kind of makes silly faces. Jan, the Czech guy, thought watching Bush with the sound off was really great entertainment, and said to me, really, now I'm not kidding, him and his pals own a nice restaurant bar in Prague. And he said that when they're in there and they have the TV on and the news is on with CNN or something, they turn off the sound and the whole place will sit there and watch Bush, his face and his mannerism. And he said there is never a time that the place doesn't erupt into some sort of raucous laughter, every single time. Well, I told him I'm so very gratified to know that our president is looked upon as the modern-day Charlie Chaplin to the Czechs. And Jan looks at me and he says, Charlie Chaplin? He said, no, not Charlie Chaplin, more like Stanley Laurel. That sure made me feel good. I mean, I always like Laurel and Hardy, and to know that Junior Bush has given the Europeans so much pleasure just warmed my heart. So it turns out that it is a good thing after all. Oh, my God. I'm mortified when he said that. I really was. I mean, he knows how I feel about Bush and all. Hey, we're going to pause for the news here coming up in just a few seconds. I've had an hour of probably the most enjoyable hour radio that I've had in a long time. I just did me a lot of good to talk to Mike, number one, to hear him today and know that he's not in the dumpers. I've been kind of worried about that and all. And And he's picked himself up, and obviously he's running hard toward a new radio job someplace, and it won't be long. You wait and see. It just won't be long at all. So hang on for that. Hey, we're going to go to the news at the top of the hour. Do want to remind you that you're listening to the Head On Radio Network. Yes, you are. And this is The Guy James Show. And we're going to have another hour program coming up right after the news at the top of the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. The former BP executive who was in charge of monitoring corrosion in its Alaska pipeline has invoked the Fifth Amendment and refused to testify under oath before Congress. The House is looking into last month's shutdown of the pipeline on Alaska's North Slope. BP executives appear before a Senate committee tomorrow. Israel has lifted its air blockade of Lebanon, and commercial flights are once again landing at Beirut International Airport. The naval blockade will be lifted after international troops arrive to take over security. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has confirmed rumors that he will resign his post sometime next year before his Labour Party's next conference in September, but he is refusing to name a date, denying published reports in London today that it will be May 4th. Coalition forces have handed over control of Iraq's Armed Forces Command to the Iraqi government. It's still uncertain, however, how long it'll take before Iraqi forces can take over their own security. In Baghdad today, 5 bomb attacks targeting Iraqi security forces killed at least 14 and wounded as many as 60. Following President Bush's announcement that 14 terror suspects now at Guantanamo Bay had been held until earlier this week in secret CIA prisons around the world, European lawmakers are now demanding to know the locations of those prisons. The 14, including one of the main suspects in the 9/11 attacks, will be visited at Guantanamo Bay next week by the International Red Cross. Former Clinton administration officials, including Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, are demanding that ABC amend or cancel a scheduled miniseries this weekend about the events leading up to 9/11, saying that certain scenes are both false and defamatory. NATO's top commander says more troops are needed to fight in Afghanistan, so he's meeting tomorrow and Saturday in Poland with top generals from all 26 NATO countries to ask for them. EU's foreign policy chief and Iran's top nuclear negotiator will meet on Saturday, talks that will determine whether there's room for negotiations over Tehran's refusal to suspend its nuclear program. A Vietnamese-born U.S. citizen from San Jose, California, is under arrest in Hanoi after being picked up last month for allegedly using the Internet to call for changes in the communist-controlled Vietnamese government. At least 54 coal miners in one of India's state-owned mines have been killed following an explosion. A new government survey shows that illicit drug use in the U.S. among teens is down for the third straight year, but up for baby boomers also for the third straight year. And Zoo Atlanta has announced the birth of a baby giant panda, only the fifth to be born in the U.S. Business is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Labor Department reports that new applications for unemployment benefits fell by 9,000 last week to 310,000. That's the lowest level in nearly 2 months. The World Bank Group is out with a survey that shows Singapore is the easiest country with which to do and start businesses. New Zealand is number two. Chrysler is recalling more than 145,000 Dodge Ram light-duty pickup trucks to replace some seatbelts and airbags, and more than 35,000 Dodge Durangos because of potential wiring problems in the consoles. Dunkin' Donuts expected to announce plans today to add 325 stores in Washington, D.C. and Baltimore by 2010, part of an overall plan to add 10,000 new stores around the country by 2020. California's Attorney General is investigating whether Hewlett-Packard violated the law when it obtained personal phone records of board members during an internal probe to find out who had leaked confidential information to the media. A change in Walmart's marketing strategy, the Wall Street Journal reports that the retail giant will soon begin to target different demographic groups. And Belgium-based InBev, the world's largest brewer by volume, reporting a 12% jump in its second quarter net profits, largely due to higher sales in Latin America and Europe. Gold is trading down $17 an ounce this hour at $624.50. Light sweet crude down 70 cents at $666.80 a barrel. All the markets are mixed, 20 down on the Dow. NASDAQ is up 4. The S&P is flat. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Good to have you along with us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. It's kind of a special day. Yes, it is. It's a special day here in the Guy James Show. I was telling folks on the chat room during the news there that you ought to read my email. Man, did we get busted with email. I don't have, since I produce the show and do the show and do the whole business here, I kind of got my hands full. And so I'm trying to keep up with the chat room and the email and all the gizmos and bells and whistles and everything else that goes on around here. So forgive me if I don't get right back to you on email and so forth once in a while. But let me just read you a couple of these. Thank you, Guy James, for letting us hear Mike Malloy. I've never heard your program before, but I'll be a loyal listener from now on. This is from Prince George, British Columbia. Yeah, and that's from Deborah. Thank you. And here's from a guy that some of you know, a gentleman from Finland, Jacob Mathen. What time is it in Finland right now? Must be, what, 9, 10 o'clock in Finland? I'm not exactly sure. But Jacob does kind of a rating of a liberal radio program, Jacob Mathen. And by the way, if you want to check out his site, talkshowratings.blogspot.com. Okay? talkshowradio.blogspot.com. And he does rate talk shows. And Jacob, good to hear from you. Our good friend up in beautiful Montana, Blue Sky, Montana, thanks so much for that interview, Guy. We're all wanting to hear this conversation since the axe fell. Thanks, Pamela. Let's see. We got one here from Jackie. This is, you and Mike Malloy can go straight to hell. I hope both of you never are on the radio ever again. I love that one. That's really cool. We got one here from George. You and Malloy, F you. Now, this guy must be a real... I'm trying to make this out here. The spelling's not real good. You and Malloy, F you and F him. I should go ahead and say it, shouldn't I? That perk your ears up. I could do that, you know. F you and F him, and I hope he doesn't get back on Air America anymore. Well, just Georgia, I don't think he's trying to get back on Air America anymore. Who else have we got here? Dan, thanks so much for putting on the king. Mike Malloy has always been the king to me, and I appreciate very much you having the interview. I'll be a loyal listener from now on. And we just got lots and lots and lots and lots of your email over that, and I appreciate it very, very much. And I knew you'd appreciate hearing from Mike. I knew you would. That was the idea. Let's hear. We got another one here. Hi from Austin, Texas. Started to call, just not into calling today. Ragwood season is in Austin, Texas. But I had to tell you what a wonderful interview with Mike. You were masterful. Thanks. Next, okay. Talking about the Ohio State football game in Texas, going to be in Austin this weekend. Man, oh man, oh man, my beloved Buckeyes are heading to Austin, Texas. Wow. Going to be a big one. Number one and number two. Do you know it's the earliest ever number one and number two, they were saying last night, has ever met in the season, second week of the season. Hope my Buckeyes prevail or I will be very sad. Very sad. Here's one. This is from, the last name is Zappa. It's F. Zappa. We do know it's not Frank, right? It's Fred. Hi, Guy. I heard last night you're going to have Mike on the air today. By golly, that person was right. Wow, it was great to hear Mike talk, and good, too. I'm a huge fan of the guy and have been very worried about him since he got screwed by AAR. I listen to Mike every night. He did some reruns over the weekend. I was shocked when he was yanked. He sounds great, and I look forward to when he gets back on the air. Thank you very much for that. And you, I didn't know about your show, but now I do. I don't know if you're on the radio or just on the internet, but when I'm at home in front of my computer, I'll definitely be tuning in and downloading older shows. I live near Detroit in Peter Werby land, our good friend Peter Werby. Yes, indeed. And thank you for that, Fred, and thanks to all of you for the nice email. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
Okay. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I just wanted to thank you for that interview.
Well, you're very welcome.
With Guy Malloy. you know who I'm talking about, Michael Malloy.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, that was a great interview on your part, and I think he's a great guy. The thing that I learned from listening to him, I think he's a very tender-hearted person, but he doesn't fool around with the narrow minds.
That's right.
Try to trip him up. He just doesn't fool around.
No, he doesn't have any tolerance for that.
But I've noticed he has different callers, and he's very tenderhearted toward them, like the young boy, you know, that's in prison.
Yep.
He just got a compassion about him.
Oh, well, Mike's real. All of you that have heard Mike on the radio, you've heard him up, you've heard him down, mad, sad, all that's Mike. That's him.
And you know, you got a lot of that in you too. And I tell you, I think I'm attracted to you kind of men. And I'm too old, so it's not that kind of attraction. But I'm really not too old. But I mean, I'm not talking about that other kind of attraction.
That other kind of attraction.
But my daddy was like y'all.
Ah, well.
He was so, you know, boy, when he talked, boy, he had something to say. And I just. Thankful, and you know, it made me feel better hearing him, his attitude about it. You know, he's accepted it now.
Isn't it great?
And I was kind of hoping he'd go back, but I'm hoping he'll go to better things.
He will. He will.
Can I just say one more thing about
sure.
when Phil Donahue was on MSNBC and they canceled him? He had gotten a great show. You know, his show just really become really good. And I sent an email, you know, expressing, you know, my disappointment. And they sent back and said, well, we were sorry we had to do it because the ratings were too low. And I kept sending, I thought, well, that's not right. And I kept sending it back, and they kept sending me the same. It was just a form letter. And that's what they were saying, that his ratings were too low. And he was the highest rated program on the internet.
That's right. Well, you know, there are those suits again that we talk about.
But we must have a right wing mole in that organization, Air America.
Or somebody just doesn't care one way or another, you know.
Well, it could be either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much. It was great, and I hope you'll come back on.
Thank you.
You know.
Well, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye
bye. I don't know. A year ago, maybe it was. I'm not exactly well. It was a year ago, the weekend of Hurricane Wilma that came through here, that my show was on the local terrestrial radio here on a station called WINK, W-I-N-K, and their sister station, W-N-O-G. And they're the highest rated AM stations around here, and they're 24/7 right wing, except they had my show for 2 hours every Saturday afternoon. And we had a nice local audience here, and we, you know, streamed the show for a good long time as well. And they were happy to let us know that weekend that, and like I said, I'll never forget those words. Your program, they canceled us and said, your program does not meet the expectations of our conservative audience. So, you know, the thing is, it did meet the expectations of their liberal audience. It may be heavily balanced, heavily tilted red around here, but, you know, it's not like people on the blue side don't even exist, you sons of bitches, down at those radio stations. It's not like there aren't any Democrats here, for God's sake. It may be 60% Republican, but how about the 40% that are the Democrats or the liberals? You just screw them? Is that it? Just screw them? They don't exist? That's the attitude they had. Oh, yeah. We pulled on a real good sponsor, one of the best businessmen in this area around here. Had him on for 2 weeks. These bastards put pressure on the man like you wouldn't believe, and he came to me and said he had to cancel out, and he felt so bad about it, and I told him not to feel bad about it. I feel bad about it that I put him in that position. That there were assholes in this area, and not just here, but everywhere, that will act like that, because they don't want a dialogue. They don't want it 50-50. They don't want it 60-40. They weren't happy with it being 99-1. They resented the fact that there was 1% of liberal radio on in this area. And there are pockets of that all over this country. All over. And that's what we're facing. And that's why it is so disconcerting when that happened to Mike, and I don't want to beat this horse to death here, but when that happened to him, I'm thinking, well, you bastards, how could you do that when here we are in an election season, one of the most important guys on the left you do this to? You can't be thinking about the cause at all. You can't be. Anyway. And that's, you know, that's how it is with this administration. You know, this administration and its cult-like followers, and lately you've heard it, I know, and Boyce has started in the other day, they're constantly excoriating the press, working on the press again. Oh, you never hear the good news. But did you ever wonder what the news would be like if this administration gathered the news and reported it themselves? The Bush News Network, did you ever imagine what it would be like? Can you imagine what Iraq and Afghanistan would sound like on the evening news? Can you? Devastating, overwhelming victory by flag-waving patriotic American forces in Afghanistan. Every last resistance fighter's been killed, and the people in Afghanistan are rejoicing because of their newfound freedom. That's what you'd hear every night. You practically do. They're carving statues of George W. Bush for their front lawns. Well, there aren't any actually front lawns in Afghanistan, but the space in front of their house I'm talking about there. And there's celebrations in the street every afternoon right after the Afghani kids get out of school, because you see 100% of the Afghanistani children attend these beautiful new modern schools built and maintained by the United States military. That's what the news would sound like, right? And the women, oh, the women are so very pleased, and most of them are naming their newborn males George in honor of the man who set them free from oppression. Yes, the burqas are gone, and the ladies are all wearing the latest fashion purchased at their brand-new local Walmart stores. The stories you've heard about poverty are absolutely untrue, and Afghanistan truly is the land of milk and honey. Thank God for George W. Bush. That's what it would sound like if they let them produce the news themselves. But that's actually what it kind of does sound like on Fox News, wouldn't you agree? And all over in Iraq. Well, things are really progressing, folks. I'm here to report tonight, you know, be warned that the pictures you see of violence and explosions and IEDs and morgues overflowing with tortured body, it's all propaganda. Actually, those pictures were taken in Detroit and New York City. That's what they tell you. The new government is in place and functioning like a fine Swiss watch. Money from oil revenues is rebuilding the entire country of Iraq on a record pace, just like the Americans predicted before they so graciously removed Saddam Hussein from power. The hospitals here in Iraq are all brand new, and the schools And there's a free medical care for all the citizens of Iraq. Never mind the people in the United States don't get it. They do here in Iraq. The Sunnis and the Shias have joined together and attend joint prayers at the local mosque every afternoon. The stories and the scenes of the sectarian violence are nothing but lies based on friction between the Lutherans and the Presbyterians in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is the Bush News Network. That's what Fox pretty much sounds like now. You know, Iraq is the land of plenty, plenty of water, food, money, freedom, oh, freedom everywhere. Most of all, the freedom to walk the streets at night. Oh, yeah, the citizens particularly enjoy their evening walks through the various communities. And those reports you hear of the roving gangs of murderous thugs, those are completely untrue. Folks, never happened, never will. Iraq is completely under control. Employment's at an all-time high, and wages are as well, due to the many great new jobs provided by the new Walmart supercenter springing up everywhere. Seems like half of Baghdad's dressed in his beautiful dark blue vest with the smiley face buttons on them. Yes, folks, here at the Bush News Network, everything is just wonderful over there. While we're protecting you, by the way. Sure, there's been a few minor, very minor skirmishes between the American soldiers and the Iraqi people, but it's usually just disagreement on who gets to use the bowling alley on any particular evening. The Americans are saying it's time to go home, but the Iraqi people are begging them to stay because of their obvious love and respect shared by the two parties. Yeah, the news would be slightly different if the sole source of it was the White House press office. And it practically is on the Fox News Network. Things would be much different, and I suppose much better as well. These negative stories coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan do no one any good. What good does it do for the people of our nation to know about dead soldiers, after all? Unless, of course, it's their own kid. If it's the kid down the street, what does it matter? But otherwise, what good does it do you to know about dead Americans? You know, you don't want to bother your beautiful mind with things like that, the body bags and all. Remember the president's mother talking like that and complaining about the cost of the war. What's $320 billion now in these days anyway, huh? Why would that only be enough to send every one of our high school graduates to college for a few years? So what's the big deal? And that'd only be enough to shore up our borders against illegals and terrorists. But where's your priorities? $320 billion only be enough to make the United States an impregnable fortress against outside terrorists. But hey, what's life without a few little dangers anyway, huh? And one more thing. Your president told you yesterday that we're taking good care of those bad guys we captured a while back. They're getting 3 squares a day, plenty of CDs and DVDs, and so don't worry yourself about a couple of waterboarding incidents. Heck, in this country, lots of kids pay good money to participate in those water sports fun things. Oh, yeah. What the hell was the deal with Bush yesterday, all of a sudden admitting that we do have these secret CIA prisons when they've avoided that like the plague for the last several years? Secret prisons? Oh, no. Hell no. Oh, no. No, we don't have any secret prisons. But now we do. Can anybody explain that? I don't quite get it. I really don't. Don't know what the story is about that. Well, who knows? I don't know. Well, 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call. 866-546-5254. You want to hear something crazy? Someone sent me this. A right-winger sent me this today. Along with some sort of a note to repent. Oh, man. My knees got calluses on them from repenting so much. But not over this. It fascinates me just how damn crazy some people really are. And this came off of a right-wing website. I think it's like, one of the well-known ones. Can't think of the name of it. Anyway, I printed it off, and they sent me this letter and said I need to take this to heart and I need to repent over the way I've talked about our beloved president. And it's a letter to conservatives, and I'm just going to read it to you. for those conservatives who feel dismayed at the anti-Bush fashion trend now increasingly in evidence among conservative commentators, several moments in the president's press conference earlier today, he's talking about yesterday, fell like rain on parched earth. The president took the following question. Mr. President, polls continue to show sagging support for the war in Iraq. I'm curious as to how you see this developing. Is it your belief that long-term results will vindicate your strategy and people will change their mind about it? Or is this the kind of thing you're doing because you think it's right and you don't care if you ever gain public support for it? Thank you. Well, before we get to the president's answer, please recall the president's, this country, and this is what this letter is saying, this country has, please recall the presidents this country has known and will know who are obsessed with their own popularity. Think of the many times Bill Clinton, I knew the cleanest would come into this sometime, think of the time Bill Clinton allowed polling data and political advisors to shape military strategy. Imagine how horrifying it would be right now to have a John Kerry or Al Gore as president. No clear statements of policy. Military decisions transparently shaped by how it's going to look. A White House that smells to high heaven of vacillation, weakness, and even corruption. Imagine all of this for a second, and then consider the president's response. The president, thank you. Look. Presidents don't care about whether people support their policies. I don't mean to say I don't care. Of course, I care. On the other hand, Ken, I don't think you've ever heard me say, and you've now been covering me for quite a while, 12 years, I don't think I've, 12 years? Yes. I don't think you've ever heard me say, gosh, I'd better change positions because the polls say this or that. I've been here long enough to understand you cannot make good decisions if you're trying to chase a poll. And so the second part of your question is, look, I'm going to do what I think is right, and if people don't like me for it, that's just the way it is. Bush has virtually never in his political career made a decision that he didn't think was the right thing to do and the right way to do it. Conservatives who are piling on the anti-Bush bandwagon should consider that this trait, which makes the Bush family historically great. Is a oh, God damn. It's the Bush family historically great. Oh, those rotten bastards, the whole family of them, historically great. Oh, come on, guy. It goes on to say, is a historical rarity to be treasured. This administration would do well to be more concerned with its popularity. The president and even the vice president should appear every week in press conferences and on the Sunday talk shows, if only to strengthen the political viability of their agenda and be able to shape the terms of debate. But it was not so long ago that Americans could only wish for a president who was obviously trustworthy, upstanding, and principled. Oh, and the day is not far off when we will think ourselves lucky to have seen this president defend the honor and integrity of his office and the American people for 8 years. The times are difficult, and nobody could have gotten through the last 5 years without making mistakes. But in that station to which God called him, George W. Bush has been himself honestly, and thank God for that. I don't know whether to puke or cry. Jeez. You have to wonder about who wrote that. Don't you? I do. There's drugs involved in that. There's got to be. Got to be. Man, oh man. What are we going to do right now? Okay. Let's go to a short break, and I'll be back in a minute.
Is Bill Clinton's fault?
God, where's the time going today? Where is it going? 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Let's go right to the phones while we're at it. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hi, Guy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Mitch from Southern California. We spoke yesterday for a moment. How are you today?
Very, very good.
All right, Randy. Yeah, I've been listening to the show. Am I on right now?
Yes, you are.
Okay, same as yesterday, Blake. Call up and get right on. I'll tell you. Mine must be... I must have stepped in something lucky today.
Well, I like to switch the buttons around here. They see. Well, I'd explain this whole thing, but it'd take me too long.
It's all right. You keep them on your feet. That's wrong. You keep them on your toes, as they say. Anyway, you know, I'm listening to you today, and, you know, it's like, you know, you were talking a little earlier about, you know, fair play, and you mentioned, and it's like we expect these people to act like human beings, man, and we expect them to engage in anything like principled people, and time after time they show us that they can't do that, and time after time we continue to fall into that same trap of just letting, you know, these guys only like a rigged game. That's all they play, are rigged games.
That's
they
right.
They'll never play you straight up on anything, you know.
Nope.
I mean, they always got to play the angle, you know, because they don't have a straight game. They just don't, you know. And we were speaking yesterday, if you remember, Guy, about the about, you know, what's going to happen in come November if we go into the election that day, and we still have a 30% approval rating for president and Congress, and you know, and we don't win a seat, you know. And I mean, how come as adults, as just responsible adults, I don't hear anybody with contingency plans for what's going to happen on the day after the election?
No.
November 8th. I mean, and that seems awful irresponsible to me. And I'm a very irresponsible person, so I know from which I speak. I'm the most irresponsible bum you've ever met in your life. I hate making appointments because I just don't, you know, I mean, because I really take appointments seriously. So I make very few appointments. I mean, I leave myself as wide open as possible. I'm as much a gypsy as anyone you'll ever meet. But even though, you know, when I get into tight positions, you know, I was taught this as a young man. You know, when you get into a tight position and you don't know, you know what to do, you stop and you say to yourself, what would an adult do in this situation? You know, because, well, we get like frightened kids, you know what I mean? What would an adult do in this situation? And I still do that. And it just seems to me that we're being we as a nation are being completely irresponsible, thinking that we're going to go into an election and win.
Yeah.
Where the hell did we come up with the idea that we can win an election? We have, like you said, three cycles have gone by. And, I mean, how much does it take? I mean, how much crap do we have to swallow before we realize what we're eating, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I really think, and I did a lot of study over this over the past weekend. I really believe we're going to take the House. I'm convinced of it. And I think that we'll be taking it by enough votes that we're not going to have to, I don't think they would dare pull out the black box voting thing this time. I think it's going to be that overwhelming. The Senate, I don't know, but I will be disappointed if they don't go after to try and impeach G.W. Bush. I will be disappointed.
Okay, let's see. Well, what you said, like, I understand what you said. That's your opinion, right?
Yes.
Now, that's your opinion. I don't know what it's based on, but that's your opinion that you'll say, you know, it's going to be so overwhelming that, you know, they won't be able to get away with it. But the track record shows that these guys have more balls than brains.
Oh, they do, but you'll have to admit, and from exit polls and everything else, the elections that they have stolen have been close elections. And I feel that that's why they thought they could get away with stealing them, because they were close. But I think this time around it's not going to be so close, and I think the light of truth, if they try and steal this one, I could be completely all wet, you know, but I think the light of truth will shine on it pretty bright. If
I believe it will too. But what I worry about is Bush's ultimate trump card, the idea that anytime he wants, he can manufacture a pandemic out of thin air, or he can manufacture any excuse he wants out of thin air, like everything else he does, and like his reasons for going to war. And he could just declare martial law the day after the election if he feels people aren't accepting that decision, aren't accepting what's happening at the polls. He has the ultimate trump card, and I wouldn't put it past this guy to do something like that.
Oh, I wouldn't put it past him either.
I think I told you a little story. This past week, I was at the VA hospital out here in California, a little place called the Sepulveda VA, which is like the world's largest outpatient clinic now. It's a joke. It's like one of these decisions they made to cut all the hospitals and turn them into clinics. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm getting into an argument with one of my Vietnam veteran buddies. He's a redneck and just a complete bush. I mean, this guy is like Sean Hannity. You know how Sean Hannity puts his forefinger and his thumb together?
Mm-hmm.
He always makes that when he's... This guy's even doing Hannity expressions. I wanted to slap him. But the guy's the size of a gorilla. You know, he'll twist me into a pretzel, you know? So I just, you know, I mean, I realize, you know, I'm getting up in there in years. I don't want to be tangled with no gorillas, you know? You know what they say about making up gorillas? It ain't over till the gorilla says it's over.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking with this guy, finally, I stand... You know what? I'm going to leave because if I don't walk away from you right now, I'm going to get in trouble because I really felt like I was going to hit this guy in the head. And this older gentleman stands up and says, "You shouldn't have to walk away. Sit down, son." He says, "You just expressed your opinion. Don't let this guy make you mad." And he turns around to this guy and just read him his rights. And the guy looks at him and goes, "Yeah, another one like you, right?" He goes, "Yeah, that's what we need. A couple of liberals, a couple of people who don't know how to defend our country." At that moment, a door opens to the doctor's office. And the doctor says, "General Fileman." And the gentleman sitting next to me stands up. Turns out he's a two-star general. The guy in the chair, who was probably, you know, peeling potatoes the entire time he was in the service, had just called the general a person that doesn't know anything about defense. You know what I mean? So it was poetic. You would have loved it. You would have cracked up. You know what I mean? Here I was getting mad at this red general. And when he came out of the office, I was like, "Oh, sir." And he told me, he says, right now, he says, in the military, he says, he says, I've had people come up and tell him that, well, the coup at this point if he wins another election. If the Pentagon would just say, you know, this horseshit, you know, we're not planning on taking over. Well, we're getting this guy out of the fucking White House. Excuse my language. We're getting this guy out of the White House. And, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, sometimes it's like a fantasy, you know?
Yeah.
I would just handcuff him, Rove, Cheney, that whole rat.
Well, I hope to see it that way. Hey, you're breaking up on us pretty well. I got to move along. Thanks for your call.
All right, you take care of yourself,
yep.
My friend.
Bye now.
Bye.
Let's see here. Let's go over to this line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys. It's Terry in Fort Myers.
Hi, Terry.
Did you get those emails that I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Did you watch that video about the Bush family?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at the whole situation. I've had a busy day.
Anyway, I wanted to say that was a great interview with Mike. Of course, everybody else has said the same thing, but you know, you were talking about the you know, the situation around here, you know, with Wink, and I think the last person that had any kind of reasonable show that would give equal opportunity to any view was Rich King.
Yeah.
And when Rich, you know, when he passed away, within, I don't know, there was some guy named Jim Watkins that came on there, and they used to cut me off.
Just flat
turned me off. I got some questions. Explain some things to me. Well, they didn't want to hear my questions.
Well, he's the one who solidified the right-wing programming for him.
Oh, absolutely. And I was sending him emails and all kinds of stuff. So, well, what about this? I'm confused. And explain this for me. That's how you back people in the corner and make them perform, you see what I mean? And so, but anyway, now there's really not anything down here that you can even call into and talk to.
No, they have that show on in the morning. For all you folks around the country, we got a gal on, we call her Ellie Mae. that's on in the morning, got probably the most inane, tries to be an adult show, but, you know, the way I always looked at it, and I shouldn't throw stones, but I'm going to throw one. I don't think the proper way to prepare for a radio show is to, especially a morning show that starts, what, at 5:30? I don't think you get up and get the newspaper off your doorstep and take it to the studio with you and do the whole show right out of the newspaper. I never thought that was the way to do it.
I would have to agree. The, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm not up. And when I do get up, I got to get on the charts. But anyway, obviously I missed that. But they've eliminated all the talk show, all the call-in stuff down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever paid any attention, but there's some people that are from over in the Cape. Why he used to call in. I forget what that one guy's name was, but boy, he used to rag on him. He was a fireman or some kind of, he was from New York. You know, some kind of public
teacher.
You know, yeah, was that what it was?
Yeah, John.
Cape Coral, John, yeah.
Cape Coral,
yeah.
John.
Yeah. John and Cape Coral. I didn't know exactly. He had something to do.
School teacher, substitute school teacher now. Retired, but substitute.
Yeah, he used to get on there, and he'd get them all riled up. That was pretty funny, so... But
you know, what you're talking about is the situation that's taking place all across this country. The right wing, one station after another, it's the syndicated shows all day, and maybe after they're over or before they start, they've got a right winger on, a local right winger on, and that's just the way they have it. And it's going to be up to people on the left to... open up their billfolds and pay for some real liberal progressive radio to come along. So far, that's not happening so much.
Well, down here, I don't. Most people, believe it or not, I mean, it was just shocking to me. And we're talking about people that are out here, you know, barely paying the bills. Got, you know, two people working in the family, at least one's working two jobs, and I mean, they're just barely. I mean, just barely putting food on the table and paying the rent and power bill and stuff like that. I can't believe that these people are Republicans.
That's right.
Or claim to be, you know, and they're all real, you know, they were real rah 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 George Bush. And so I throw little bitty one liners at him. I said, well, has George Bush helped your? I said, hey, he gave away tax breaks to all his buddies. Were you in on that? Where's your new car at? Right. You know, stuff like that. Well, they don't like that kind of stuff. And I said, well, then why'd you vote for him? You know, I don't understand. But anyway.
It's hard to understand all that. It really is.
Down here, it is just so unbelievable slanted to the right.
Yeah, people around the nation wouldn't understand.
they
really wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, because how many times did Al Thompson have Bush down here?
Yep.
You know, down there at Gulf Harbor.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can tell you right now that I got stopped. I shouldn't say stopped. I got caught in two major traffic jams because of the processional. You know, the coming from Southwest Regional, heading down there. So there we sat, and we sat, and we sat, and we sat. And I said, I wouldn't. You know, it was just so aggravating. But, you know, Bush came to town, but he came down here. God, if I remember correctly, he was down there like four times, if I remember right.
Yeah, he was. Hey, got to move along. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, bye now. Hey, you're listening to The Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. You are, and we're going to be back in just a moment or two.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. I love this little piece. I do. It makes me happy when I hear this. Hey, how about making me happy? Make yourself happy. Give us a call here at the Guy James Show, 866 866-546-5254. Love to have you join the program this afternoon. 866-546-5254. My, we've had an interesting program today. I've enjoyed talking to everybody. You know, I dug out an old clip yesterday. I was, cleaning out the memories and finding this, that, and disc I had around here and the whole thing. Once in a while, just have to do that in the studio. You know how things get cluttered. And found something that I always thought was interesting. And I thought, you want to know what you're going to hear, of course, the rest of this week. But you'll hear this from now until Election Day. And I just wanted to remind you about the tactics of the Republican Party from now till Election Day, particularly this week, but it'll continue right on.
September the 11th. September the 11th. September the 11th.
September 11th. September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th, 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 September 11th, September 11th.
September 11th, September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th, 2001.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Saddam Saddam
Saddam
Saddam Saddam Saddam
Saddam Saddam Saddam
Saddam Saddam
Saddam Hussein.
War and danger.
Continuing danger.
Hour of danger.
Very, very dangerous world.
A grave new threat.
Horrific acts of atrocities.
Murderous regimes
dedicating to killing us.
Tyranny and terror.
Slaughtered thousands.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons programs.
The deadliest of weapons.
Terrible weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Poison gas.
Torture chambers.
Mass graves.
Deadly technologies.
Radical ideology of hate.
Terror of threats.
Terror.
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 War on terrorism.
War against terrorism.
Global war on terror.
Global terrorism.
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 The evil terrorists.
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 And there you have the entire Republican platform for this election and probably into 2008. You will be hearing that over and over and over again. And like I said yesterday, wouldn't be a bad idea just to build a big-ass bronze statue of George Bush at the site of the Twin Towers and get it over with the hard hat and the bullhorn in his hand, and just make the whole thing a tribute to George Bush and the Republican Party, because God knows they've sure tried to do it themselves. Never in the history of the world has such a tragic event been so politicized for their own political gain as these despicable neocon Republican Party has taken over this 9/11. I don't know how many of you got a chance last night. I had many, many, many people write and ask me for this today, so I'm going to do it. It's a little bit lengthy to do on this program, but I'm going to do it anyway. A lot of people didn't get a chance to see Keith Olbermann last night. Now, I fully realize that a lot of people, particularly those on the right, always kind of passed Keith Olbermann off as just some sort of a sports nut that didn't know anything but basketball, baseball, and football. But I think Keith has accorded himself rather well lately, don't you think? I think if there's anybody on TV that is more intelligent and more eloquent than Keith Olbermann, I would certainly love to know who it is. So for those of you that wrote and didn't get a chance to hear this last night but wanted to, I'm going to play this for you now.
Now a special comment about the president's speech today. It is to our deep national shame, and ultimately it will be to the president's deep public regret, that he has followed his Secretary of Defense down the path of trying to tie those loyal Americans who disagree with his policies or even question their effectiveness or execution to the Nazis of the past and the Al-Qaeda of the present. Today, in the same subtle terms in which Mr. Bush and his colleagues muddied the clear line separating Iraq and 9/11 without ever actually saying so, the president quoted a purported Osama bin Laden letter that spoke of launching, quote, a media campaign to create a wedge between the American people and their government. Make no mistake here. The intent of that is to get us to confuse the psychotic scheming of an international terrorist with that familiar bogeyman of the far right, the, quote, media, unquote. The president and the vice president and others have often attacked freedom of speech and freedom of dissent and freedom of the press. Now Mr. Bush has signaled that his unparalleled and unprincipled attack on reporting has a new and venomous side angle. The attempt to link, by the simple expediency of one word, media, the honest, patriotic, indeed vital questions and questioning from American reporters with the evil of Al-Qaeda propaganda. That linkage is more than just indefensible. It is un-American. Mr. Bush and his colleagues have led us before to such waters. We will not drink again. And the president's rewriting and sanitizing of history so it fits the expediencies of domestic politics today is just as false and just as scurrilous.
A failed Austrian painter published a book in which he explained his intention to build an Aryan superstate in Germany and take revenge on Europe and eradicate the Jews. The world ignored Hitler's words and paid a terrible price.
Whatever the true nature of Al-Qaeda and other international terrorist threats, to ceaselessly compare them to the Nazi state of Germany serves only to embolden them. Moreover, Mr. Bush, you are accomplishing in part what Osama bin Laden and others seek, a fearful American populace, easily manipulated and willing to throw away any measure of restraint, any loyalty to our own ideals and freedoms, for the comforting illusion of safety. It thus becomes necessary to remind the president that his administration's recent Nazi kick is an awful and a cynical thing. And it becomes necessary to reach back into our history for yet another quote from yet another time and to ask it of Mr. Bush. Have you no sense of decency, sir?
At long last, have you no sense of decency, sir? The answer, Keith... Of course, Keith, you know the answer to that. The answer, do they have a sense of decency? The answer is an unequivocal no. They do not have a sense of decency. The Bush family does not know what decency is. From top to bottom, from mother to father to all the brothers, not a single one of them knows what decency is. I had planned this week to talk more about the Bush family. They have made this personal this past week by calling us appeasers and so forth. And so I intend to continue my campaign to be personal right back. And next week we will talk about what Mike, like always like to say, is the Bush family crime, the Bush crime family. And we will talk about the brothers and how the associations that they've had with people that if you and I had had the association and business dealings with, you and I would be in prison. The idea that the Bush family has any sort of decency, any sort of honor amongst them whatsoever, is ludicrous. I don't think most Americans have an understanding at all, any sort of understanding. Even many on the left have no understanding at all what kind of people that they're dealing with this Bush family. Ah, yes, we see the pictures of Mom and Dad of Kennebunkport, and we see the pictures of Junior clearing brush at Crawford, Texas. And, of course, we see the lovely... and smiling and glad-handing Jeb Bush here in Florida. Very popular guy. With enough scurrilous connections to put him in prison and a lot of others as well. I know damn well if I'd had the same connections and business dealings as Jeb Bush has had here in Florida, there is no question I would be in prison. And so would you. And so would all the Bush brothers. So would Neil. And we're going to talk about that next week, and so we hope you're ready for that. I know a lot of you already know some of this, but we're going to talk about it. And I want to make it my mission to make more of the public aware of this. People on the right don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it at all. They pass you off as some sort of a lunatic if you do talk about it. Well, we're going to talk about it. That's what we're going to do. They want to throw mud. They want to call us appeasers. Tell you what, I'm capable of throwing it back. I most certainly am. And I'm so disappointed in the American people. I was going to talk a lot about it today. I don't think a lot of people have come to grips with this Bush-Iraq war. And the main thing people don't understand is that it is Al-Qaeda which is the strategic threat to our country. And if we're only going to deal with the problem as though it's some sort of a geopolitical nation-state problem, then we're not going to make any progress toward ending or even acknowledging terrorism in the proper manner. And we're going to keep playing around in certain countries and certain regions in the world thinking that it's somehow going to change things and keep people from hating us. Then that's just plain nuts. The biggest single failure on the president's policies is the lumping together of every single person in the world that was unhappy with their government with either legitimate or illegitimate grievances against them. So every single national liberation movement that comes to light all gets thrown into this, and every other world leaders, the people that they hate, lumping them in all together, and they put them all on that list, and we buy into it, and hence we end up taking on the entire world. That's what we're doing right now. And I think the day is close when dealing with Nasrallah and Hamas or Palestine or the Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt is going to look awfully good compared to the problems of dealing with somebody like Al-Qaeda, which doesn't have an address, has an apocalyptic global vision, and with whom negotiation is absolutely impossible. We'd better get back to the realities that there are very legitimate grievances from some people. This doesn't mean we're supporting their methods, but they are going to fight on, and they're not going to recognize that they've been defeated, and to ignore that reality is going to be absolutely disastrous. It's already disastrous, and it's becoming clearer and clearer that most most thinking people, believe the present situation in dealing with terrorism in the world is a complete fiasco. The problem is that as far as the public or even the policymakers are concerned, is that there are two different interpretations about what you do about a fiasco. And I would argue that the more rational interpretation is that, gee, we've been down this particular road and heading this particular direction for quite some time, and it isn't working, and it's only getting worse. Therefore, we should think about doing something different or reversing our directions. But an alternative interpretation is that, and I see this one as winning perhaps in the framework of analysis in Washington, my God, the dimensions of the problem are vastly worse than we even conceived. We need more power. It's going to be a generational war. It's going to be a long war. It's going to be endless and more the same, more power, which just isn't going to work. So the reality is other forces do exist out there, and we need to be able to talk to the world. And I just can't accept or believe that the world's sole superpower is unable to talk to most of the people whom we're most unhappy with. We can't talk to North Korea. 27 years down the road, we still can't talk to Iran, which, like it or not, is the natural hegemon of the Gulf region. We can't talk to Hamas. We can't talk to Hezbollah. We can't talk to the Syrians. This is a real recipe for disaster. I think that when you become the world's sole superpower, you're suspending normal geopolitical actions all over the world, and that geopolitical action can often work to our benefit and to others who are uncomfortable with our own actions. We don't give this a chance to work, and everyone turns to us, and we're carrying the whole world's problems on our backs, and we're getting tired, and we're getting weary as a people. But I am heartened, at least to hear, that there's at least some discussion starting to take place amongst rational people that bombing the hell out of everybody that we've got differences with is not the route to peace and the safety of the people both here and around the world. Thank God for small favors, at least. I do want to thank you for listening to the program today. Like to thank everybody here at the Head On Radio Network. I hope you'll stay tuned for the Bruce Burt Show and Bob Kincaid after that. You've been listening to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, folks.